Morning, church. That is a tough act to follow. And so here I am. Wanted to give you a couple of quick reminders. Number one, we're in a season where we're intentionally praying for our community, praying for Phoenix. Want to invite you out in the lobby, and actually in the back of the seat in front of you are these cards, Pray for Phoenix cards. If you haven't had a chance to grab one of those, we'd invite you to do so. On the back are just slots or areas where you can write down the names of people that God brings to your mind or needs that you see in our community, whatever that might be, and just to be thinking and praying through those each day, and then to bring these cards back on the last Sunday of February this month, which I think is the 22nd or 23rd. And we're going to pray as a church. We're going to pray for all of this together. And to remind us to be praying, in the lobby there are stickers and magnets that say, aptly, pray for Phoenix, which is a reminder for us to pray for Phoenix. You guys are right on. You guys are so smart. So we'd invite you to do that. Also, a quick reminder, if you'd like to know more about our church, what we're all about, we do have a starting point coming up next Sunday. You can find more information in your handout. Also, if you want to know more about like our core values, which we write up there, we have written up there on the wall, and what we're talking about throughout this series, we have a core values class that's kicking off on the 12th. This is a great opportunity to learn more about what Desert Springs is all about, but also kind of the core scriptures that are that we anchor those value statements to. So if you've if you want to know more about our church, if you want to know more about the Bible, this is a great opportunity to connect with some folks and also learn more about those things. And then finally, our vision night is coming up in 1 month. We're going to have a big meal the evening of March 2nd and share some of the plans that we're putting together about the future of our congregation, including some of the work that we're going to do in this room and some other really cool things coming down the pike. So you can find out more information in your handout. And if you're joining us online, you can find more information on our website, dsbc.church. So we're in the middle of this sermon series called Strange Religion, which we're looking at kind of how Christianity was very strange in the earliest days of Christianity. When the first followers of Jesus started putting it into practice, they were in this place called Rome or the Roman Empire, and they were viewed as strange. And so we, so many years later, are looking back on those first followers of Jesus, looking how they were strange in their time, so that we can learn how to be strange in our time. Now, I would just ask you, isn't there some strange things about Christianity? Like, there's some strange stuff about Christianity. There's some things that are, like, we have, you know, like, we talk about communion, which is kind of strange. We also follow Jesus, which is kind of strange, unless, of course, Easter really happened, which we believe that it does. It's strange to be talking about, you know, the teachings and the way of someone who lived so many years ago, and also to live that out today, like some of the strange things that Jesus talked about. Now, he said this one thing, like, you should love your neighbors as yourself. You guys have heard that one? You know what else he said? That you should love your enemies. Isn't that strange? To love your enemy? Like, do you want to do that? No, I don't want to do that either. But Jesus not only showed us, not only taught us, but he also showed us how to do that. And in the life of Jesus, we see that. And we see the earliest followers of Jesus striving, working to live that out. This is what it says in Acts chapter 4. This is also in your handout if you want to follow along. And it's talking about, it's giving this description of some of the earliest Jesus followers. And this is what it says. The entire group of those who believed in Jesus were of one heart and one mind, and no one claimed that any of their stuff was their own, but instead they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. For there was not, check this out, for there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was when they distributed to each person as any had need. So there's this description of the earliest Jesus followers that if anyone in their community had a need, they would take their possessions or their stuff, They would sell it, and then they would give the proceeds of that stuff to each other to help meet each other's needs. One of the first things that the people around these early Christians noticed was that they took care of each other. They took care of the needy. They took care of the poor. If anyone was hungry, they did everything they could to make sure no one was hungry. If somebody had a bunch of stuff and somebody was in need, that person who had a bunch of stuff would sell some of their stuff and give that to the person who had need. So there was no one who was in need in their community. It's kind of like how Jesus would often help meet the needs of people by like doing things like giving them bread and fish, or he would take care of them by healing them. And so this early Jesus community wanted to live out the way of Jesus by living generously. At Desert Springs, we talk about living generously, that we strive to live generously, living out or being the hands and feet of Jesus. Oftentimes when people pray that God would meet their needs, it is extremely common that God would use people like you and me to help meet those needs. And so this idea of helping one another, helping especially those who are in need, was a mark or a strange thing about the earliest followers of Jesus. And they did this because they understood one key, like, truth. It's that they understood that God would take care of them. That they didn't need to keep everything for themselves, but instead that they would live generously because they believed that God was good, that God would provide, and that God would take care of them. And this is underneath this idea of generosity. Now, there's this group called the Bible Project, and they put together explainer videos for like key themes from the Bible. I love the Bible Project. You could check out their website. But we have a video that they've put together that explores this theme of generosity. Take a look at this.
Imagine your friend invites you to a party. You arrive, and there's lots of people, decorations, food, and drink. There's enough for everyone.
When you're hosted by someone that generous, you don't have to worry about your needs. You can just enjoy yourself and focus on the people around you.
Yeah, that's what a good host wants for her guests.
And this is the picture of the world that we find in the Bible. Creation is an expression of God's generous love. He's the host, and humans are his guests in a world of opportunity and abundance.
And we're called to keep the party going, to spread his goodness. This is a beautiful picture, but it's not the way people experience the world. Rather, we find a world of scarcity and struggle, not abundance.
And Jesus grew up in that kind of world. Under military occupation, people losing their land or families to debt and poverty. And yet, he would say things like this. Look at the birds. They don't store up food for themselves, yet they have enough. Or consider the wildflowers. They're beautiful and abundant, and they don't stress about their existence. And you all should live that way, too.
But surely Jesus knew that things don't always work out. I mean, sometimes there really isn't enough.
And Jesus did experience poverty firsthand, but he viewed the world through the story of the Hebrew Scriptures, which claimed that our scarcity problem isn't caused by a lack of resources. Rather, the problem is our mindset that God can't be trusted.
Maybe God's holding out on me. Maybe there isn't enough, and maybe I need to take matters into my own hands.
And once we're deceived into that mindset of scarcity, we can justify the impulse to take care of me and mine before anyone else. And that leads to envy, anger, violence, and a world where it seems like there's not enough.
The party's over, it's turned into a battleground.
But God wants humans to experience his generosity, and so he chooses one people, the family of Abraham. And he promises to give them the abundance that he wants for everybody else. God will provide what they need. All they have to do is trust his generosity.
And through them, the whole world will see how generous the host really is.
But that's not what happens. Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, enter a land of abundance, and they promptly forget the host who gave it to them. They act like it's all theirs, and like there's not enough. And it leads to war and Israel's self-destruction.
If I were the host of this party, I think I'd just give up.
But God doesn't give up. What he does is surprising. He gives another gift.
Another gift?
Yeah, but this gift is different. What God gives is himself.
All right, and Jesus, the host himself, comes to join in on the spoiled party.
And notice, Jesus lives with the conviction that there is enough. and that our generous host can be trusted. His mindset of abundance allowed him to live sacrificially and generously, even towards his enemies.
And Jesus called his followers to trust in God's abundance like him.
And that's why he said things like, sell your possessions and give to the poor, or don't worry about your life. He's inviting us to live by a different story, one that is built on trust in God's goodness and love.
But living generously doesn't mean life is gonna go well. I mean, look at Jesus. He was betrayed by his friends, and he suffered.
And this was no surprise to Jesus. He knew that people would take advantage of his generosity. In fact, that was his plan.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. Jesus knows that we're all hopelessly deceived by this lie that there's not enough.
Yeah, that lie needs to be defeated.
And so that's what Jesus was doing when he gave us the gift of his life. Jesus' death was the ultimate expression of God's generous love.
Yeah, God's love can turn death into life and scarcity back into abundance.
Or as the Apostle Paul put it, you know the gift of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, that even though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty...
Jesus called his followers to live like the real party has begun.
Yes, he called it the kingdom of God. And our... another gift, the personal presence of God's own Spirit that can teach us how to trust the generosity of the host, just like Jesus did.
Yeah, and when you believe there's enough, you start seeing opportunities for generosity everywhere, with our time and money, our attention.
Yes, one of the most important ways that we can experience the abundance of God's new creation is sharing with others because of our trust that God is the generous host.
So these early Jesus followers were so transformed by the teaching, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that they thought differently about everything in their life, including their stuff, their possessions. And they sought to live generously, not only because they saw Jesus doing it, but also because they got a taste of the abundant life that God promises as they shared it with others. Have you guys ever had like something good happen to you? And what's one of the first things you want to do? You want to share it with somebody else. In the sharing, it actually multiplies the joy. And it's the same with the good things that we have, whether it's our home, whether it's food, whatever it might be. When we're sharing it together, we're actually increasing the joy, not only that the other receives, but also that we receive. This is why Jesus would say things like, it is better to give than to receive, because he recognized that when we live in light of the kingdom of God, practicing on earth as it is in heaven, we get a taste of the beauty of the abundance of God. One of the cool ways that I've seen God at work through generosity is here at Desert Springs. A few years ago, we recognized that our two-story building, our kids' building, was only accessible if you could walk upstairs. Building was built in the 80s, and we didn't have an elevator, and we recognized that it wasn't available for everybody, and so we began to pray that God would provide for us so that we could build an elevator so that everyone, regardless of ability, could access every part of our campus. And we brought that before the congregation. We were praying about it. We started to raise some funds, and another local church, I still remember the day when I got this phone call, another local church had been raising funds to bless other church communities in the area, and they called us and basically said, hey, could you use a couple $100,000 for anything that maybe you're thinking about doing? The answer, by the way, to that question is always yes. But it was so cool because this congregation raised about half of the funds needed, and then the other half was really funded by another local congregation. That's how our elevator was built just a couple of years ago. Also, this really cool thing happened last year. In 2023 and 2024, we were praying that God would reveal to us a fresh vision for our community, how he was calling us to step into ministry. And one of the things was intergenerational ministry. We recognize that our faith grows when we're with a diverse group of people, including chronological diversity. And so we wanted to figure out and put our minds and hearts into, okay, so how do we like make sure that all the generations are at the table, we're sharing communities together, we're learning from each other. And so what we're experiencing today is a part of that initiative that y'all prayed about and shared with us about a year and a half ago. But what we found out middle of last year, the latter part of last year, was that an organization was also thinking in this direction, and they gave us a pretty substantial grant for the next few years, tens of thousands of dollars, to be able to experiment in the area of intergenerational ministry. And that's just one, following where God was leading through prayer, but then God providing through the generosity of others has been blessing this congregation. And I've seen God work in so many different ways. And one of the invitations I would have for you is, as you seek to be generous with your time, your energy, your resources, is to be on the lookout for how you've seen God at work. Because often it's when we're sharing, when we're living out the abundance of God, that we get to see God at work up close and personal. And we're going to do a little bit of an assignment as we conclude our time together. Melinda, I believe, has a bucket. Someone's got a bucket of, let's see here. Yes, of course. So some of the young people, fellow young people, put their names in here. And what we're going to do is this. So before I pick the name, I want to show you something. You guys ready for this? Let's see if I've got it here. There it is. Someone went, ooh, I like that, yeah. What is this? This is United States currency. This is a real $100 bill. You could tell it's real because it's got the little stripe in there, okay? So this is my $100 bill. So I was given this, I did a side job, and I got paid a $100 bill. So this is mine. No, that's not where the story ends. So real quick question, according to video and according to the teaching of Jesus, whose is this? Oh, okay. So everything that I have, I didn't just like self-generate, right? Certainly I did a job and somebody paid me for this, but the resources that this United States currency reflects is ultimately a creation and a gift from God. When we talk about money, we're talking about a way, it's a way for us to talk about resources, and resources ultimately come from a good God. But this is something you can exchange for goods and services. It is United States currency. And I'm going to give an assignment, a homework assignment, to someone from our Adventure Kids ministry. Let me just pull out the name here. Okay, so let's see. Emily S. Is that Emily Spicer, probably? Emily Spicer, come on down, please. Can we give it up, please, for Emily? So I'm going to do a homework assignment. Don't get too excited. You can't just spend it any way you want. I'm going to give you, there are stipulations with this money, Emily. So come right on up here. Right here, please. Now, I want you to take a look at that. Have you ever seen one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you here, I'll hold it. I'll hold this, you hold that. Does that look like a real $100 bill to you?
No.
No? Well, it is. It's a real $100 bill. Now, here's your homework assignment, Emily. I would like for you to think and pray for however long about how you can bless somebody with that $100 bill. And your only assignment back to me is that you share with me if you saw God at work, okay? Mm-hmm. Is that something you want to do?
Yeah.
Cool. That's it. Give it up for Emily. Now, for me, that was... obviously, a ploy. It was my real money, but it's also for me an act of anticipation and expectation that God's going to do something even though I can't see it. And I want to invite you, whether it's time, money, energy, social capital, whatever it is to first be thinking and praying through, Lord, how can I live generously as the hands and feet of Jesus with this resource that you've given to me? However God leads you, just follow that. But follow that in expectation that God has good gifts to reveal to you and how he is at work in this time of abundance and sharing. And so that's y'all's homework too. That was the only $100 bill I'm giving away today. So you're gonna have to figure out your own resources. Yeah, I know, it's a huge bummer, right? But I wanna invite you to take a big deep breath in, please, and let it out. And what I wanna do is I wanna invite us to just for a moment imagine. So I'm gonna ask you to close your eyes. And we're just gonna imagine together. So this is something I know our adventure kids are somewhat familiar with, is imaginative prayer. I wanna invite you to imagine, to call to your mind's eye how God has provided for you. And as you have those images in your mind, maybe it's a time, maybe it's a feeling, maybe it's a word, a resource. When I invite you to imagine how the abundant grace of God might shape how you use those provisions. And so, Lord, as we imagine not only how you have provided for us and how you will provide for us, we also imagine that the abundance of your kingdom might be made known through us as we seek to live generously as your hands and your feet, Jesus. And so I pray for your blessing over every person here today, that they might have a sense of your love for them, your delight in them, that you hold them in your hand, that you are ultimately the provider. And I pray that you would bless each of us as we step into generosity with glimpses of how it is that you are at work. And so, Jesus, it is in your name that we pray. Amen. And amen.